Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're here. The 20th episode has hit us. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the 1973 podcast runs wild on you?
So, hey, you know how to come in big, bro.
What are you going to do? You got to hit the pose. You got to point all four sides and be, there you go. Pose out. So we're here, 20 episodes. We're going to have some fun with this one. Right below me, we got the son of the Phantom back again from the Underdog Sports Podcast. So here we go. We're going to talk about some stuff. It's going to be a quick half an hour. I guarantee it. This one's going to move along really, really good. So, fellas, what do we usually start with?
Well, we normally start with the mail, don't we?
Yeah, let's hit that mailbag, you ball
so,
bag.
Let me reach down here. Let me do a little Hawkeye Pierce from MASH and peel the tape off the one from the bottom.
Yeah, let's make sure you
don't know the if you don't know what it is, you gotta go watch the episode.
Why don't you reach down between your legs and ease that mailbag back?
All right, thank you, David Lee Roth.
Yeah,
appreciate it. All right. So, hey, 1973, just want to say happy 20th episode. Love the show and your Facebook page. Keep them coming. And where can I buy Tommy's Shitty Picks shirt? Thomas, take it away, brother.
I appreciate the responses. I've gotten a few responses. I know a few people are going to buy it. So, you know what? If you keep buying the shirts, I won't have to print stuff like this out for the 20th episode. And I'll be able to go big time.
Yeah. Look, you need to buy about 18 wheelers full of those shirts. I mean, we're tired of couch fishing, just saying.
Yeah. So buy the shirt. Usually, if you look at all of our posts on YouTube, in the description, it'll have the bonfire store where you can go in and grab whatever you want to grab. Really appreciate it. Wear the shirts. When people ask you what it is, you can, you know, point them out in our direction. That'll be great. It's like I said, it's all for fun, and there'll probably be more shirts as we go along. So go on there, buy every shirt. They're unlimited. Just keep going, hammer them, buy them. We'll take them. Ed, want to add anything to the email?
It's kind of nice to not be like attacked by Brian from Watertown, Massachusetts, you know, telling us that, like, you know, that Tom has shitty picks, that like our picks are terrible. You know, calling us out on our Mount Rushmores of wrestling picks. You know, so, I mean, I feel really good about this. So, I just want to say, Brian, Watertown, Massachusetts, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. I want to say thank you very much to all of our family and friends that do watch, comment, that type of thing. We really do appreciate it. I mean, we're three goofy guys. We've added a fourth partner tonight, Son of the Phantom. So, we really do appreciate all the feedback. So, thank you.
Tom, want to add anything to that email at all this week?
I've got nothing.
Okay. I just want to say thanks to everybody, and let's keep it rolling. So with that being said, Let's talk a little hockey to get rolling here. Big day for free agency. We had the draft this week, July 1st, as we're recording. So that's the first day of free agent frenzy. So let me ask Dylan, have you been able to see any of the signings today at all, Dylan?
I've been keeping up with the Hawks, but that's pretty much it. They haven't really done much.
Yeah. What do you think about Taylor Hall going to the Hawks?
That, I like it. I'll take that. I'll take that. This man needs some help, so we got him some help.
Oh, you sure Connor Bedard's not going to play in the AHL next year?
No. He's going to be playing.
Is that a guarantee?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it. Breaking news on the podcast.
Breaking news.
Week. Yeah, breaking Muppet news. Tom, let's do a little bit of deep dive with these free agents signings today. Shed some light on the day for us.
I love the way that Anaheim was aggressive. They added some grit to go with the young guys like Zegras. They added Radko Gudas today from Florida, and they added who the heck was it? Hold on a minute, Alex Killorn. So I think that's going to add some good grit to the lineup. I mean, they're not going to be more than likely not going to be a playoff team, but those are good guys to have in the locker room for the younger guys to learn from.
So it's all about the shirt, Thomas. I mean, you see that 20th anniversary shirt that they came out with. I mean, that Duck's looking mean, bro. Come on.
So let's pause right there. Let's talk Ducks. Now, Pepper Beak with that second pick. Thoughts on that second pick? Do you think he dropped the ball, Dylan? What do you got?
Oh yeah, you gotta go Fantilli. You got to.
I can't believe that one. I mean, there were a couple of people that already had Fantilli Ducks jerseys that they actually bought, and that's crazy when when they took that pick. And I don't know what the basis is behind it. I'm sure there's a story there. But Tom, what do you think on that whole?
Terrible. I had him probably fourth or fifth on my list of guys. And I mean, if you have a chance to have Fantilli come in and play alongside Zegras for who knows, 10, 12, 15 years, I mean, you need to go with that. I mean, this kid Carlson, he may be good, but I think Fantilli is going to be a superstar.
So with that being said, with Babcock taking over Columbus, in the talent that's there, do you think that's going to be counterproductive with Babcock on that team?
Yeah, I think he's going to wear out his welcome fast with those guys.
Yeah,
but I'm going to disagree with you, Thomas. I mean, come on, man. What's wrong with having young players that have kind of like a hard-nosed coach that's kind of old school? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, even if he's only there for 3 to 5 years, I mean, he lays down how to be a professional to these guys. He shows them the ropes. I mean, now that they're taking fighting out of, the majors, I mean, these kids are going to be kind of coming up a little soft, just saying.
Dylan, what do you thought? I think Babcock's going to screw up that Blue Jackets team or what, with Line A and these younger guys?
The weird choice to go with him with all the younger guys that they have built up now. But I agree with Ed. I think that's a good idea to, give them all the same thing from the get-go, even if they get rid of them after a couple seasons.
With that being said, I like your Acclaim t-shirt. Just a quick – yep, with the scissor shirt. There it is. So it's same with the draft. And maybe – throwing in some of the free agency, Tom. What else do you have for free agents that signed today? Oh, let's talk your team. Let's talk about your team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your team. What is going on with that Don Sweeney regime over there?
Hey, they're still going to make the playoffs. I guarantee you. That's a guarantee. Mark it down.
The best thing about doing the podcast is we can always go back.
I'm not saying they're going to break any records, but they'll make the playoffs.
Well, and it's tough to break the record they just had.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that they're going to have. I actually have a feeling that Bergeron may come back. I think Krejci's gone, but I think that they're going to end up having almost everyone. I won't say everyone back. They lost Orlov, Garnett, Hathaway, but I really like Shattenkirk, the Shattenkirk signing. Clifton was good, but I like having that veteran presence out there. I still don't think they're done. I think they may end up trading Grizzlick.
What do you think about the Luchics thing?
I love it. I love the fourth. They've totally rebuilt the fourth line, and they needed some toughness because they were getting pushed around by Florida, and there was no pushback. And I think Lucic, he's going to drop it. That's all he's going to be really good for is, but it, just his presence. I mean, you could see with Calgary, guys had to be honest. So I think I'm going to give Sweeney, and I don't like Sweeney, but I'm going to give him a little time. It's only the first day. Who knows? Bertuzzi still hasn't signed. They may still make
Carlos, be something. Careful. We don't have a very large legal department, so take it easy there, brother.
Dylan, what do you think of thoughts on what the Bruins did today?
Shattenkirk, good. Pretty much letting a lot of people walk. I don't think they have much money, so Bertuzzi, they should definitely prioritize trying to get him back. He was a big piece in the playoffs.
So with that,
wait a second. How can it be a big piece when you lose and you get bounced in the first one?
That's true.
Oh,
that's just sour grapes because this team didn't even make the playoffs. So
that's right. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Look at the rafters, brothers. Look at the rafters. Okay, just saying.
Ed, come on now. Get out of the 1960s. Come on now. I know you're old. Oh, but
damn.
The black and white video. Back in the days, the black and white video, you know?
Damn. Man, you're just being ruthless. It must be the hat, Tom. It must be the hat.
So, you know, for a guy that's, you know, struggling for a Stanley Cup over here with the Flyers, just put this Flyers thing in perspective. There was no cable the last time the Flyers won the Stanley Cup. Every house only had one phone, and it was on the wall the last time they won a Stanley Cup. Every house had a black and color TV. It was mostly half and half. So it's been a long time. So with that being said, the Michkov, what do you think about the Michkov thing, Dylan?
I think that's a good move.
You think he's ready to play?
I think so, but won't it be like a couple years, right?
Yeah, unless they can pull some Russian mafia stuff and get him over here. Tom, what do you think?
Well, I mean, if they can get him out of his KHL contract, I mean, I love the signing, but that's a big if, especially with all the real world of politics and stuff going on right now. So you never know. I mean, I'd like to see him come over here, give the kid a chance. I mean, have him on a young team like that where, I mean, he's gonna excel because he's not gonna have any pressure on him.
Yeah, looking at the whole free agency day, I didn't really see, like, I know that there wasn't a lot of big names out there, but I didn't see a lot of big splashes, and I don't know what Bertuzzi is gonna have in the works, but I'm sure he must be getting some kind of offers and just sitting on something in case the Bruins can move like pieces around to get him. But are they gonna overpay for him or what?
I'm hearing Anaheim has already made an offer, but he's sitting waiting for a couple other teams that are trying to move money around to make an offer. But the deal, a couple deals I really liked today was I liked Blake Wheeler going to the Rangers. I think he's going to be a good third. I think he'll probably be a third line guy there, maybe a second line guy. I think he adds some good depth to that. And I liked Matt Duchene going to Dallas. I think Dallas is. That's a good addition to them. They had a lot of young guys. They needed an older veteran guy. And I loved Miles Wood going to Colorado. And Colorado locked him up for 6 years. So it's the long term, but the money's not too bad. The low-key one I liked was Jonas Korpisalo going to Ottawa. I think that's a good young team for him.
What about the Jonathan Drouin deal that he signed for basically almost nothing to go to Colorado, and here's a guy that, you know, was highly touted at one particular point in time, and it's just
Brandstrom, Eric Brandstrom from, I think he was the second pick in the draft, and he re-signed with Ottawa for $1 million, and he was the second pick in the draft.
Well, you know, maybe because maybe he's going to do like just one of Tom's favorite people. You know, he wore number 77. He couldn't win a cup in the Garden, and so he had to go to Colorado to win a cup.
Paul Coffey never went to Colorado. are we talking about Chris Gratton? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know we would get a deep dive with Chris Gratton reference on this. Tom, free agents, any other notable moves today?
I mean, Dmitry Orlov signed with Carolina. I don't think he's a good fit there. I don't see him. They are a fast team. I don't see him being able to keep up with those guys. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, and hopefully, I mean, I like Carolina, so maybe I am, but I just don't think he's got the speed to keep up with them.
Well, speaking of Carolina, I heard that there's something in the works still with D'Angelo back to Carolina, but it can't happen until the 8th of July. So we'll probably be able to mention something about that in the next podcast.
I've got another big rumor is that Eric Carlson's gonna end up with Pittsburgh. That they're working on the deal now. It's almost done, from what I heard.
Wow, that's pretty epic if that happens. But I don't know if he'll see as much ice time with Letang, or what they're going to do with Letang if he's on the outs. Who knows? But so we'll pause right there, and we'll hold off on the rest of the hockey talk for a bit. But Tom, we'll do your fantasy picks of the week while we're kind of transitioning with some sports.
Okay, but first hold on, I have to change from my sponsor.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to make it official. Yep.
All right. Tom City Picks.
That's the round.
The round of the City's picks.
Great round of applause, everybody. We're going to get everything.
You need to do a better intro with this.
Yeah. Shoestring budget, Ed.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, we don't have time for
the Hulk Hogan references earlier.
We could have ripped it, Tom. Could have.
Hey, that
shirt
cost me
$20.
I can't rip that.
No. It's a prop. But, yeah, we don't have a big wardrobe department.
Yeah. Well, to go back over what I did last week, I picked Freddie Freeman and Clayton Kershaw. Freddie Freeman is having a pretty good week. He's got 20 points so far. He's got still playing tonight, and he's got a game tomorrow, so he's not doing bad. Clayton Kershaw, he had a good first start. He's got 12 points. He's got pushed. He's only going to start one other. He didn't start the second game this week because he has a sore back, so he's not going to start. So he's only getting one start. So my picks for this week, I'm going kind of off the table a little bit with my hitter. I'm going with a young guy. I'm going to go with Matt McLain from Cincinnati. He's got seven games this week. One's against Washington, and the other series against Milwaukee. He's been on fire the last six games. He's batting. He's 10 for 29 with 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, and 6 runs in the last 6 games. For my pitcher, I'm going with Logan Webb from San Francisco. He's got 2 starts this week against Seattle and Colorado. Seattle's team batting average is 229, and they've struck out 780 times as a team. Colorado is batting 256 with 760 Ks. So I think Logan Webb's going to rack up a lot of points this week.
So we have somebody on the show this week that also has – his own podcast. So Dylan, you want to add anything to Tom's shitty picks?
Ooh, I would have to just go Dodgers like he already did this past week. That's the only thing, pretty much.
So you see, that's a confirmation. The picks aren't all shitty. You got a confirmation from a professional.
Hey, I was watching last week. I was like, ooh, that's a good idea. Take a couple Dodgers.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. you can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
That don't lose much.
Did it work?
Yes.
Yeah. It did. See? There you go. Confirmed. Worked. So
ever since the shirt came out, I think they've been a lot better.
There you go.
Some motivation. I don't know.
See, the sports athletes know that when Tom Shitty Picks comes and your name is mentioned, you gotta up your game. It's just, you know, you just can't deny it. So let's transition over a little bit, talk some wrestling. We had a passing a day or two ago, Darren Drozdoff. I don't know if people remember him from the Attitude Era. He had suffered a bad neck injury from D'Lo Brown in the ring, and he was confined to a wheelchair for a while. He's been on a couple episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. He's been in a couple documentaries since. Kind of feel bad. Kind of got dealt a bad hand from a guy that wasn't really known for being reckless in the ring. So I don't know. Thoughts on Darren Drozdoff, Tom, Ed?
I'll take it. You know, I remember him, and, you know, he's quite a football player from the University of Maryland, you know. And, you know, he graduated with a guy from that started Under Armour. So, and the guy from Under Armour, he was the guy that helped Darren quite a bit after his accident in the ring. You know, I think he was kind of like one of those guys. I mean, he did that stuff with LOD, also, that's also known as Legion of Doom. You know, there was that, I think that they did an angle with Hawk, I think, you know, where he was an alcoholic, and they kind of tied that in there. You know, and I think that, you know, accidents happen in the ring. I did some fact checking to make sure I got the university right, because I thought he went to I thought he went to Oklahoma for some reason. I was like, man, that I got to make sure it's right, you know. And I guess, you know, it's that whole Attitude Era. I mean, there are a lot of guys that kind of churned through there. And I didn't realize that his injury happened about 6 months after Owen Hart passed away in the ring. So, yeah. You know, kind of just really, you know, just kind of really sad to hear of somebody that, you know, is only 54 that passed away today. And, you know, it's due to the complications that he suffered from the injury. So very sad.
Thomas?
Yeah, just to piggyback off ahead, a lot of people don't realize he played 3 years in the NFL before injuries kind of curtailed him, his career. And then you see the whole thing from, Beyond the Mat, where he had the meeting with Vince McMahon and the whole thing with puking and on command. And that's what got him his job. It's kind of, that fits right in with the Vince McMahon and his MO from back then being kind of weird and crazy. But he was a pretty good wrestler for somebody that had just learned and was never really, I won't say classically trained, but he didn't really have a lot of experience, but he wasn't that bad. And it's just sad that D'Lo Brown, I know from everything I've heard and all the shoot videos we've heard, he's a really nice guy. And to have it happen, I mean, it really screwed with his confidence the rest of his career. And it's a sad thing all around.
So speaking of sad stories, stay with this week's Dark Side of the Ring, talking about Junkyard Dog. Now for me, when we always ask, you know, is this person a legit Hall of Fame? I'm going to say yes with Jay
yes.
White.
Absolutely.
What a character. What, you know, he was on the Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling cartoon. There's a spot in the Dark Side of the Ring that said that he was making like $100,000 a quarter off the wrestling figure, the LJN, back in the day. So just imagine that you get this four quarters in a year, so $400,000, and, you know, just to blow through the money the way those guys did and not invest it in buy a small business or a car wash or something that would just keep that money kind of making money. They never did that.
Times that by three with today's standards on money and inflation. Times that by three.
Oh, yeah.
That's 1.2 million.
Yeah. Just imagine the marketing at that time with, you
my
know,
God,
the WWF. So, Tom, Junkyard Dog.
it was a good episode. I liked it, and I mean, it just, he was really the first black wrestler that kind of succeeded enough where it kind of gave other wrestlers, black wrestlers like Tony Atlas and guys like that, where
this is my
in their heads thinking that they would that they could actually get some money and earn some money in this business, make some money, and guys would get a chance. Because back then, I think Jim Ross is the one that said that back then most promotions had an unwritten rule where they were only hiring so many black wrestlers, and you'd be lucky if one of them was an actual anything more than a mid-carder.
Now let's go to a newer wrestling fan. We'll go with the son of the Phantom. I know the Phantom growing up was a Junkyard Dog fan. Thoughts on the JYD there, Dylan?
I'm not too familiar, but I know he is a super fan, I guess you'd say, of Junkyard Dog, being one of his favorites.
Yeah, he kind of transcended a lot of he was one of those guys that I think fans that saw him, there was no color barrier with him. He brought in, of course, in, you know, Mid-South, that Louisiana, Mississippi territory, he brought in a lot of black fans, but white fans loved him too. So he was like the first guy that was like, you know, had that Dusty Rhodes thing, but he was like the black Dusty Rhodes. He actually, the funny story about him is when he left Mid-South and didn't tell Bill Watts he was going to WWF, he had a briefcase full of money that Vince McMahon had wired to him. And he was going from territory to territory as a featured talent. That's what he had told Watts he was going to do. And he did that and then transitioned up to New York. So he wasn't in Mid-South when he made the move. He was actually being showcased in a couple of different other territories so he could make the move without any resistance from Watts. But everybody, like, one of his last stops was Mid-Atlantic. And he was carrying around this briefcase with, like, that they had wired like $500,000 to him. And he was just going through the briefcase of money, whatever he was doing. So it's kind of crazy when you look at like the intricate details of that. But, you know, everybody talks really good about him. Ted DiBiase talks good about him. He just had that demon of, you know, he wasn't sleazy like Jake the Snake was as a person. But as far as like your interactions with him day to day, he was like a good guy. He was a really good guy, but just couldn't stay away from, you know, the bad stuff that came along with that 80s fame and that wrestling back in the day. But Dylan, have you been able, do you usually watch most of the Dark Side of the Rings or?
I've seen a couple of them, not too many.
Yeah. Yeah. And more, I think it caters more to like, you know, if you really knew a lot about the guy, you know, that genre, you know, watch wrestling. Well, quick thoughts before we move away. We didn't have Dylan on last week and it was AW's Forbidden Door. And I just wanted his thoughts on it. What's your takeaway from that?
Overall, really good. But I missed a bit of the front, the beginning of the show. I missed the MJF match. I missed, I don't remember what came on second. But I did get to see the Omega Osprey match and that was crazy.
Yeah, that was so good. I think they kind of stole the show with that. They almost did too much.
Mm-hmm. And then when the main event came around, when it was Danielson Okada, I feel like it was really overshadowed by the match that came before it. So, I don't know. The ending to that one also, I feel like when I was watching it, just like kind of ended and it was like no real buildup or anything. So, I don't know.
Yep. They came out and said afterwards that Danielson broke his arm in the match. So
yeah, he's going to be out for like a while.
That probably screwed up the ending a little bit.
So do you think that 5 hours for a pay-per-view is too long?
Yes.
What do you think the perfect cutoff is for a pay-per-view? Like if it starts at – so you got 7 o'clock and you have the
– 3 hours.
3 hours. So
3 hours.
So 7 to 10 or 7 to 11?
Well, 7 to 11 would be 4.
Yeah, but the first hour is like a pre-buy-in show. They don't really count it as part of the pay-per-view. So
Well, here's the thing. If you're gonna do a show, you need to do an 8 o'clock show if it's a pay-per-view, and that's because so you can get the West Coast viewers, man. Yeah. If you do it at 7 o'clock, it's an East Coast bias. You can't do that. If you want to go national and keep your national audience happy, you can't do that.
So, Dylan, what do you think? 4 hours? 3 hours?
Yeah, I like the 4 hour setup that AEW was doing it for a little bit, and then some of them they got kind of crazy that they got up there like 5 hours. It's like no one can watch this until 1 a.m.
And it was nicer when it was on Saturday nights, because even if it did go long, you had Sunday to recoup. But
exactly.
On a Sunday night, and you're putting in 5 hours of, and then you got to get up for work, it's tough. It's tough the next day to, you know, sit there. And some of the matches could not have a pay-per-view type, how can I put it? They don't deserve to be on a pay-per-view. That's as blunt as I can put it. There are some of those matches they could trim the fat with some of these things. But anyways, let's move away from that, and we'll talk. I guess we'll do Tom's CD of the week. What do you got, Tom?
My CD of the week this week is going old school, going with Billy Squire, Don't Say No. And it was released back in 1981. It was probably his biggest selling album it was only his second album, but it probably made him the most money. I think it topped out at number five and was on the charts for like 111 weeks or some ridiculous thing. But it was a 10-song album. Songs like Lonely as the Night, In the Dark, My Kind of Lover, of course, The Stroke. And the one I liked, which kind of unsung, was You Know What I Like. That was always one of my songs that I liked. But that was it. That's my pick.
The first four songs that you mentioned off that album, they play still on the radio, not on the regular, but you do hear them. And, you know, that's out of all those albums that he had, that was probably the most critically well purchased album that he put out. But as far as the funny story about that is the Rock Me Tonight video kind of killed his career. If you've ever seen it and you've heard the story about it, for a guy that was kind of known like a Peter Frampton kind of guitar, kind of God kind of guy, not really like a Rick Springfield, but he could play guitar and he had a band built around his singing and guitar playing. It's crazy how that Rock Me Tonight video came out and people were like, what the hell's going on here? Thoughts on that, Ed?
Well, I mean, I like the album. I only pretty much know the first four songs, really. Yeah. And the thing about it is that when I come home, they play them on HJY, right? They still do, right? Down here what is it, 95.7 out of New Orleans, you hear every weekend, you know, some Billy Squire, you know, and it's from that album. So, and I do remember watching that Behind the Music, I think, or there was some sort of rock documentary that talked about that video. I don't remember that video, man. That was such a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's on YouTube. If you want to have a chuckle, go fire it up and check it out. And then give me your thoughts on that afterwards. When you're talking to a whole different era of what guys were perceived to be, and then you watch that video, you're saying, why the hell do I have this album in my collection? Something bad happened to this guy? Did he hit his head in between albums? Or
Here's the thing. If we could get your muskets.com to work on our audio visual for background stuff, look, we all know that this would be better, but we can't pay him enough, you know?
No.
The thing is that I really think that you really should post on the Facebook page. You should post that video.
Oh, you all should. Right. I think
that's a great idea, because that way you can touch our audience and so they can see it, so you don't have to search for it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Not Joan Jett do you want to touch. Not that. That's an album for another week. Because that's a cool video, too, if you've ever seen that one. Trench Coat and Joan Jett, you know, she only did it once, so if you blink, you missed it. So,
Put it up there, man. Make it happen. You got to make it happen.
So we're winding down towards the end. It usually goes by pretty fast, but this is the time we usually like to throw some shout outs, and I'll start this week, and I'll throw it out to our buddy Phil. We hadn't talked to him in a while, and he came across the podcast, and he reached out, and we were talking about different things and how he loves a lot of the things we talk about. A lot of the stuff's in his wheelhouse. He's in our age demographic. So it's, it's really cool to get positive feedback, especially when we haven't heard from somebody in a while, and all of a sudden, bam, they find us this way, and they have nothing but fantastic, funny things to say. So I'll throw it to Dylan. Dylan, throw some shout outs out there. Mention some people you want to say what's up to, and we'll go around.
All right, I'll just say what's up to the Phantom, because I know he's watching. I know you need to get on here.
Getting called out.
Getting called out.
He's gonna be on here eventually.
Dominic his names.
Dominic Mysterio's calling out Ray Ray.
Calling his names.
The Jealous Chiefs. Yep. The law has been laid down. That's a good one. Ed, Tom, what do you got?
Ed.
I'd like to circle back to just the Junkyard Dog thing just for about 30 seconds. Man, to hear the story on that about the him crossing barriers. You know, we always hear about race relations and how much tension there are. Now, dude, there was a dude in Louisiana that was hopping over the thing, and to stay in character, the dude had a gun. He was going to shoot Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah.
I mean, craziness, man. Yeah.
That was good.
That's how much he got over.
Yeah.
Just lastly, thank you very much for family, friends, that type of thing, for listening and watching, supporting us. We really do appreciate it. We're just three goofy guys plus one tonight. We hope to get the Phantom, because the Phantom needs to get on here. Just saying,
Tom.
I want to give a shout out to everyone that watches, all fans, family, friends. But I want to give a special shout out to Javi, our friend Hav. I talked to him this week. And trying to work on him. Hopefully I can get him on the show sometime. We'd love to have him, and I just want to thank him for watching and listening.
Yeah, I want to get a couple of the guys on here that we've been trying to get on for football season. They're football guys, and I think it would be good input and just a little eclectic view, and we can get a little bit different look at it from time to time, just so you don't see the same three sexy MFs that you got to look at every week. So, with that being said, I'm going to sign off. So for the son of the Phantom and the best tag team in the podcast and biz.
Good night.
Happy 20th episode, fellas.
20. Oh, yeah.